Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to thank and pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Room by Room, the Home Organization Science Insights podcast, produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We're champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm your host, Gabriella Yastra, coming to you from NAM, Melbourne, Australia. Let's begin. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be talking about how to transform your closet with the KonMari method with Vivian Lee Mayhew, who is a professional organizer and master level consultant certified by Marie Kondo in her KonMari method of organizing. Hi, thank you for joining me on the show.
Thank you, Gabriella. It's a real honour to be here. We're a Melburnian. As you know, I'm from Melbourne as well, but living in Los Angeles now. So thank you for welcoming me here today.
Yeah, thank you for joining us from so far away. Before we get started on the show today, I'd love to get to know you a bit better. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Yes, I'm Vivian. Last name, Lee Mayhew. I'm the owner of Tidy Up Los Angeles, and I work with clients in their home or via Zoom, and help our clients tidy up their homes, transform their lives. And I'm also a life coach and mother, wife, have two sons, 19 and 21.
Great. Do they, think of Melbourne as home as well, or more Los Angeles?
Oh, gosh, my husband's American. As soon as my first son was born, I had him, I did everything I had to do to have him be an Australian citizen as well. And the same with my youngest son. So they both have American and Australian passports, and they love Australia.
Yes, I mean, I love Australia. I've never been to the US, but yeah.
Oh, the last trip to Australia, we went to Uluru, the three of us. Ah,
amazing. I'd love to do that.
It was amazing. Amazing.
Great. And we're going to do a section called Have You Met Vivian, where we get to know you through some of your favorite things. First thing I'd like to know is, what is your favorite book?
Oh, so interesting. Well, work-wise, it's The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo. I picked up that book in 2015, and it literally changed my life. So that would have to be my most favorite book, I think.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's what obviously it changed your life, because, I mean, you're here today talking to me about it.
Yes, which wouldn't have happened.
Exactly, and yeah.
I hear so many stories of people's lives being changed by reading that book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can't wait to hear more about that. And have you enjoyed any movies recently?
Well, probably like everyone else, I watched Love Actually, but I'm more into watching, shows on TV. And the one I'm currently enjoying is Julia by, it's about an American chef. She had a show in the 60s called The French Chef. And this show is about her getting the show on public TV.
Ah, was this the same Julie from Julie and Julia, that movie?
Yes, yes.
Ah, great. So I'd love to see, a bit more about her life.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating that the show, there was a lot of, people didn't want the show to be made because they didn't see her as being one to teach anyone anything about French cooking, and, you know, men just didn't understand why anyone would want to watch someone actually cook on TV. And of course, you know, the results were different.
I know. I mean, now cooking TV is a huge genre. I mean, that's what I watch every night when I eat dinner.
Exactly. Like everyone else, we all love watching cooking shows. So, yeah, definitely recommend it.
Okay, thank you. Maybe I have to replace my cooking shows with a TV show about a cooking show.
Yes.
And do you listen to any podcasts?
I love podcasts. And the one that I religiously go to is called This American Life. And it's about the host. He'll interview just different people about different things, people off the street. And this podcast introduced me to David Sedaris. Mm-hmm. And I know David Sedaris visits Melbourne a lot, so you've probably heard of him. He's an American writer. And he, the story I listened to on This American Life, it was so funny. It was about David Sedaris's job working as an elf in the department store. And it was so funny. I was listening to it and I was just, couldn't stop laughing. And I think, isn't that the test when you're just laughing out loud when you're by yourself? So,
yeah, that's
what I reckon with it.
Yeah, I love This American Life. And I also found David Sedaris through it. And yeah, I've read a couple of his books. And yeah, they're just so funny.
Oh, so funny. So funny. You can just see him being so cheeky and annoying other women by speaking in the way he did. So naughty.
Yeah. do you have a role model?
I have quite a few in my family, my mother and my sister and my husband, and just four different things, really. Just work ethic, getting on with life, not getting too caught up in drama, and being authentic.
And it's good that, you know, they're, you know, people that you've grown up with, but also people that you've chosen. You know, it's very important to choose your role models as well.
And interestingly enough, they're all born in September. that just occurred to me. They're all born in September. So
must be a September thing.
Yeah.
Know anything about astrology?
No, not, well, I'm a Libran and I'm meant to be balanced. The Libran's balanced. So,
I got to say.
Sorry. What about you? What are you?
Oh, I'm a Capricorn, but I don't know anything about it.
Okay. I think Capricorn might be the goat. So.
Yes. The one thing I do know, which annoys me, is that it's a water goat, but it's an earth sign. I think it's an earth sign.
Oh, well, we'll have to look into that.
Yeah. And have you completed any courses that have inspired you?
Yes, I listened to a podcast called The Life Coach School. I started listening to it years and years ago. And last year I was inspired to actually do one of their courses, and that was to be certified by the Life Coach School to be a life coach. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty rigorous. I started in November. I finally certified in August, and I did so many sessions, about 70 sessions, et cetera. It was basically my life for all those months. But it was so worthwhile. And so now I can do life coaching as well.
Yeah, great. That's certainly like quite a long course.
It was. But I learned so much, and I mean, you do a lot of self-coaching on yourself first. That's what coaches do. They coach themselves first.
Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, you have to be experienced first before you can pass it on.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think we all have the same issues going on in our lives. So if I can improve my life, then I can recognize how I can also help other people.
Mm. And it's definitely great, I think, to have that, to be able to say to your clients, you know, this is my experience, this is what happened to me, and this is what I did to improve. You know, you can also do it.
Yes, absolutely. Like with doing the KonMari, I had to do that to my whole home before I could even join the seminar.
Ah, okay, interesting. I'm going to actually, that's a great segue. We're going to move on to our next section. I'm going to learn a lot more about the KonMari method. But first of all, I'd like to know, how do you define home organization?
Yeah, it's when your home supports you from wake up to sundown. It's when your home supports you so you can just find your stuff and get on with life.
Yes, I'm currently in the middle of moving and I can't find anything. And while the house is very much doing its thing, it's really great, my things aren't doing its thing yet.
So what aren't you finding?
Oh, I couldn't find my helmet for, I went roller skating last week. I couldn't find my helmet, which is very important.
Okay, so you're packing up for your current home.
Yeah.
And things are in boxes.
And everything's just sort of in boxes around everywhere. So yes, just unpacking everything, still getting rid of things and putting everything where it's supposed to be.
Oh, that's great that you're letting things go. That is so so clever. And definitely create time to do that.
Just doing a little bit every day is what I'm trying to do.
Maybe label some boxes, you know, like the one where you have your helmet.
It's a bit late now. We've moved.
Oh, you've moved. Okay.
It's okay. I'll be fine. Being able to, you know where everything is and so that you're not maybe spending time searching for it, that's how you define home organization.
Yeah, your home has defined places for everything. So so there's no chance of clutter building up, and you have to make it easy to return an item to find place. It's fine to find it and get it, but to actually put it back, that's the key. So you want to make it easy to return the item to the same place you found it.
Yes. Okay. Interesting. And so I'd also like to know, why is closet organization so important? I'm guessing it's going to be so you can find things and also put things back easily.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. So what are some other reasons why we should organize our closet?
I find that when closets aren't organized and things are just piling up inside the closet, on the closet floor, then things don't start going back to the closet. Then they start, you start finding other clear areas in the bedroom. So maybe the chair, the treadmill, a bench, anywhere there's a clear surface, or maybe even the floor, or maybe even the bed. Because then you can find what you've been wearing. Or things may not even get out of the laundry basket. Mm-hmm. But, definitely so good to not let things accumulate on the floor of the closet, because then you don't know whether there's any insects as well.
Oh, true. Is things like insects and things, are they a big problem?
Yes. Well, I think in Melbourne you have an issue with moths.
I haven't noticed them.
Okay. I've heard that from my sister. but also you have if you're not cleaning out your closet, there's spider webs, spiders, insects, I don't know, silverfish, anything you don't want to be there. If you're not cleaning it and there's dust accumulating, I mean, it's pretty nasty.
We just moved out and I was surprised by how much dust was just everywhere. Obviously, it's not just the closet. But you have to, clean behind everything and clean underneath everything. And I imagine, with the wardrobe, be the same sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And if everything's on the floor, you're not vacuuming.
True.
And I would imagine seeing your closet and your clothes in disarray, it's not going to make you feel good either.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like you open your closet, you just feel, I can't find anything, and you don't feel supported. You don't feel supported. And then you'll probably go out and replace items that you already have. So you're spending money on things, wasting time replacing things.
Definitely. And maybe wearing clothes that are maybe a little bit too dirty that you're like, I can't find anything. I'm just going to wear this thing I can find on the floor.
Oh, gosh, hope not, but maybe.
I would say I'm pretty good. I don't do that. And so you're a KonMari consultant. So how can we, or I guess first of all, what is the KonMari method?
The KonMari method was created by Marie Kondo, who wrote the book The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, and it's a combination of her names, Marie Kondo, KonMari, And as a child, she was fascinated with organising. And through all different steps, she tried to get her family organised, and she saw how things that she did helped them or irritated them or just didn't work. And just by tidying up with other people also, she started devising this method because she saw what worked, and it was a bit different from what other people had, other organisers had recommended. And she wouldn't do the room by room tidying. She tidies by category.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't tidy like the bedroom, then the family room, the kitchen. She will tidy a category in the bedroom. So clothing. So we start with clothing.
Okay, so you start with clothing, and then I guess you move on to the other, categories.
Yes, and there's a reason why we start with clothing, and that's because we experience our clothes daily. They're closer to our heart, and that we start developing that spark joy meter. Yeah, you know when you put an outfit on that you love? I mean, it's undeniable, isn't it, how happy you are when you're wearing it?
Yeah.
Or if you had to put on something that you just did not like, you absolutely know that that wasn't bringing you any joy. So, you know, it's pretty obvious what you love, what you don't love. There may be some in between, but we start with clothing to just so you can see what it would be like if everything spoke joy for you in your closet.
And I guess it's also kind of a little bit easier because you can definitely say, this is too old, this is too big or too small, and you can say, I have to get rid of that. There's no point keeping it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it depends on your own criteria.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is the, how do you go about that process in a bit more detail? You know, how do you set that criteria?
Okay, we'll start off with picking three items.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, we actually take all the clothing out of the closet and put it on the bed. And there may be clothing in the children's wardrobes, maybe clothing in the garage, maybe clothing in the husband's wardrobe. We bring all your items to one location and we start there. And I'll ask the client to pick out three items that they absolutely love. And sometimes it's really difficult. Even if there's so much clothing, it's still difficult to find three items that they love. But that's where we'll get the meter, the spark joy meter. And then we just go through each, we'll maybe do the pants or tops, whatever. We'll just pick up each item and just hold it up, see what you feel. And if you want it, you keep it. If you're going to let it go, to complete your relationship with that item, I'll have them say to the item why it's going. Mm-hmm. And it might sound weird, and I had never experienced it before, but it was a whole game changer for me, saying, thank you to a leather skirt. Thank you for teaching me. You're not my style anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came over from Australia, I had so much clothing that I would move from one space of the closet to the other when I thought I was tidying up, just prior to Con Mari. But saying words of gratitude and letting items go in completing the relationship, I didn't miss them after I donated them. So that was pretty wonderful.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, so I guess in some ways because sometimes – so I've been giving away things recently and I'm a little bit worried that I've donated something that I need, which is I think why I've accumulated so much stuff. And so I think that by having that personal moment with the item you're giving away and really thinking about the reason why you're not keeping it is really good because it sort of, completes that. It means that you're not thinking, did I mean to give that skirt away? Should I have given that skirt away? It means you know exactly why.
Exactly. And if you can't let go of that item, then I'll recognise it's a sentimental item and I say, look, wait till we complete the whole home, then we'll do sentimental, which is another category, the last category.
Okay. So how many, like when you're sorting, would you have maybe a pile to keep, a sentimental pile, then maybe a pile to donate and then to throw out?
Generally, that's what we have. My clients are pretty good about donating. Mm-hmm. I can make an effort, and I don't drop off their donations. They actually do it themselves. And with our clothes, we don't really want, you know, stuff to go, you know, in the rubbish bin. So you know, maybe, you know, they'll be repurposed as rags or...
Okay.
Everything's always designed to try and not fill up, you know, the landfill.
Great. That's always a good note to add, because it is very easy just to throw things in the rubbish, but then, you know, what life does it have in landfill?
Yes, and some things will end up, they will end up there, but I know, I find my clients are really thoughtful, and a lot of them will even have like the Amazon cardboard boxes, you know, all those boxes that we accumulate, and they would rather put their items in the boxes to be donated rather than adding more plastic by using, you know, rubbish bags.
Oh, great. So once you've, you know, maybe whittled down your closet to things that you want to keep, and, you know, you've either boxed things up for donation or, you know, taken them to be donated, what is the next step in, you know, making our closet more organized?
Okay. So Marie Kondo, she recommends to start on the left with heavy, dark items, and then go to the lighter items and lighter in color. So it kind of creates this like sort of heavy and then light. So you can kind of see the heaviness to the light. And it's really clever because if you have a closet with one rod, you know, I think typical when you're renting a place, you have a closet with one shelf, one rod, and you hang your things. Mm-hmm. And if you have all your heavy, long items on the left-hand side and they're going up as you get to pants, for example, you'll see that there's a space created underneath and you can put in a chest of drawers there.
Yeah, great. So, you know, effectively using the space in a better way, because I know that, you know, I have a lot of T-shirts, but not so many like long things. So it's a lot of wasted space underneath.
Okay, yeah, exactly. So you can wherever you have that space, you can put in a chest of drawers.
Great, yeah. And so do you recommend, you know, if you have like winter jackets, maybe storing them over summer, or do you recommend just keeping them in the closet?
I recommend keeping them in the closet. Mm-hmm. Some people have a hall closet and you could put them there. Ideally, I like keeping everything that I own, clothing-wise, in one closet.
I guess it minimizes the hassle of, you know, change of season, do I have to go get them from wherever it is, the garage, the hall closet. And also, you know, living in Melbourne, I've experienced this. You've got all these false starts with summer and winter where you're like, oh, it's hot now. I'm going to put away all my winter clothes next week. I'm so cold. Where are my winter clothes?
Oh, I love Melbourne winter. Love it.
Oh, I hate Melbourne winter.
Oh.
Yeah. So with a chest of drawers, do you have any recommendations of how to set that up? Because, you know, at the moment we just kind of shove everything in there and just hope the drawer closes.
Okay. We'll definitely do some decluttering. With the chest of drawers, we fold the KonMari folding. Mm-hmm. And we place things vertically instead of stacking. Like if we were doing T-shirts, we don't stack them on top of each other. We fold them in such a way that they stand upright. So when you open the drawer, you can see everything that you own.
Uh-huh.
And that just isn't it with clothing. It's even with linens and towels, et cetera. It's all about vertical space.
Okay. But how do you, like... I imagine it's good if you've got a full drawer, but if you've got half a drawer, don't things start to fall down a little bit? How easy is it to put clothes back in again?
Okay. I use a shoebox. Mm-hmm. When I first read the book and Marie Kondo didn't She didn't say go out and buy this to be organized. She said that you can be organized just even with a shoebox. And I started using shoeboxes, and you can put a shoebox in between clothing to hold other items up. You know, some things are flimsy, floppy, but then you'd put another little box in there to just give it some space. But if you have a packed drawer, everything's going to be supported by the other garments.
Okay. And what about for like shelving? Do you have any recommendations there?
Does Melbourne have the Container Store?
I think there was one in a different country I lived in.
Oh, okay. Well, I have a closet that I got from the Container Store, and it's a Swedish product called Alpha. Mm-hmm. And that, after many, many years, I finally got my dream closet, and it has adjustable shelves. And if you can have a closet with adjustable shelves, that really helps, and areas for drawers and for your shoes. And
That actually brings up a great point. What do you do with shoes? At the moment, I've got a shoe rack that I've got everything stacked up on. Is that the best way to go about it?
Where do you have the shoe rack? Do you have it in the closet or?
In the bottom of the closet.
Okay. How is it working for you?
Seems okay. I mean, I think the shoes that I wear most often I've actually put under the bed so I don't have to go into the closet all the time. So I use it more for boots, high heels, shoes that I wear less frequently.
Okay.
Well, and it seems to be working well.
Great. Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
I like the idea of having your shoes in your closet.
My partner doesn't like that method for himself. He doesn't like having to get down and get the shoes. He just wants to have them freely available. So we've got a different method for him.
What is his method?
His method is to throw the shoes in the corner of the room.
But you love that.
This was a compromise. Initially, he wanted all his shoes thrown in the corner of the room. Now it's only the shoes he uses regularly, and it has to be in the corner of the room so I don't trip over them.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, Gabriella, when you're tidying up, you have to focus on yourself, and then you hope that your partner sees your life transformed by what you're doing, and that, you know, it rubs off on him.
Okay. Is there any other way to, like, you know, teach partners or, you know, maybe roommates, children to get into this area, or is it more just, you know, show by doing it yourself?
Yeah, I think so. And if he likes tossing his shoes in the corner, maybe you put a little basket there for his shoes.
That's a good idea. I think he'd like that. Maybe not great for his lovely work leather shoes, though.
Okay. And with the shoes also, I think when you create a space for them in your closet, you're more inclined to keep them clean.
That's true.
Yeah, because if you're seeing them every day, you don't want to be seeing dirty shoes. So, you know, create time for yourself to, you know, give them a little bit of a clean and a thank you.
Particularly, sometimes they get a bit muddy and I, you know, leave them outside. And if I wanted to put them back inside, I'd have to clean them because I wouldn't want to get the mud everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What about things like, you know, storage hooks or, you know, those shoe hangers in the closets? Do you recommend those types of things?
I don't really like them. I've used them and I was so happy to stop using them. And I don't like things hanging really so much. And with hooks, you know, you have to be very intentional with what you're going to put on the hooks.
Okay. Why is that?
Because you may have a hook and then just everything gets put on that hook and you'll forget that you have things on that hook because there's other things on there. I recently worked with a client and I found one of those little hanging over the door hanging things in her closet. I put it on her bathroom door just to see what it looked like. And then I just put her dressing her robe, her dressing gown on that. And she said that just changed everything for her, knowing that that hook is meant for her dressing gown.
Ah, okay. So it is, you can use hooks and stuff, you know, if you're intentional about them.
Yeah, be intentional. And, it maybe even just one hook.
Yeah.
Maybe that will change your life. But I'd really recommend things be kept in drawers and not piling on.
Okay. And what about if you don't have enough drawers? What if you have a very small storage space?
Okay, so I don't like to bring in extra stuff if you don't have to, but if we've got that closet with the one shelf above, which most people have, and with the one rod, and we've got the chest of drawers, well, then maybe we need to bring another chest of drawers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you'd recommend that over maybe decluttering?
Well, I would say declutter first.
Uh-huh. And then see what you need. Okay. Mm.
But using the KonMari folding, it's really great for compressing the air out of your clothes. So you may find that you have enough room for what you need. And maybe some items have to be hung, you know, if you don't want to bring in any more storage.
Okay, interesting. And so, I mean, it's all good and well to get everything organized, you know, the first time. But then I find, for me, the problem is doing the laundry, having all my clothes out, and then I just never get around to putting it away. So do you have any, like, recommendations on, like, you know, how to get the habit of keeping things organized and keeping the closet, you know, in good shape?
Okay, so what is your reason for not being able to put things away?
I just don't like doing it. And so it sort of sits in a bag in the living room until I finally have, there's too much stuff and I don't have enough clothes to wear. And then eventually I'll fold everything and put it away. And I don't mind the folding process, but I just have to get around to it.
Okay. So maybe you need to experiment with ways to get you to do it. Because obviously you want to do it. So when you say the clothes are in the bag, have you gone to an outside laundromat and then you've come home with the bag of laundry clothes? Or
no, we have a laundry at home. We have a washing machine at home. It's just I find the easiest way to keep everything contained is an IKEA bag.
Okay. Well, the key is you've got to get it out of the bag, got to get it out of the basket. If you want to put the clothes back in the closet and in your chest of drawers, you just have to get it out of that basket. And for me personally, what helps me, I have a podcast going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty much doing all the laundry for everyone, and it just keeps on going. And I just toss it. I had the items in the basket. I get the basket, put all the clothes on the dinner table. And then while if the things have come out of the dryer, they're warm, so I'll group them by category, like I'll get all the T-shirts and put all the socks, get all the jeans, T-shirts, tops, underwear, socks, and I just put them in categories on the dinner table, and that does something to my brain. It's like, doesn't look like too much then, because otherwise it would be all jumbled and, you know, and big mess. But I've kind of made it tidier for myself. And then I just do one category at a time.
Okay.
Do the folding on the dinner table.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you find you have enough time? I find that I'm always doing something else, or I'm about to do something else when I'm doing the laundry.
Okay. What else are you doing when you're doing the laundry?
I might be cooking dinner. I might be, you know, taking 10 minutes from work to get the laundry in, and then going back to work. Maybe I'm putting some more laundry out because, you know, it's a rare sunny day and I need to take advantage of it.
Okay. So it really depends on you creating the time. And if you can... Maybe, do you like watching TV?
Yeah, well, sometimes.
And you like, do you like listening to podcasts?
Yes, I
do. Maybe you can combine two things, you know, the laundry with something else that you like.
Okay, yeah.
Like if you're watching the TV, you can just fold while you're watching the TV.
I tried that, and sometimes it's good, and sometimes I get too engrossed in what's on TV.
Okay. You will
pick something else to watch.
Do your best. Do your best. But if it's important to you, you'll take those clothes and hang them up. But it's got to be easy for you to hang your clothes. Mm-hmm. Is it easy for you to put your clothes away?
I wouldn't say it's hard. I mean, I think like with hangers, it just annoys me that I've got to like stand there and take them out, put them in again, and then hang it up. I think folding is fine because you just kind of shove it in the right spot. I think it's just tedious, you know, because I like to have my underwear folded. I like to have my socks folded. It just takes a while to like get everything together.
Perhaps break up the laundry then.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you don't have so much.
Maybe do it more regularly so I'm not doing everything in one go.
Yes. You know, you could only try it out.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
And I'd also like to know, are there any, like, you know, trends or changes in the organization world?
Well, I was thinking about this and there are like rainbow organizing where you organize by the rainbow. There's an idea that imagine you're decluttering and you put things away in a box and you don't open the box for 6 months. And if you haven't had to open it up, then just donate it. Mm-hmm. And there's minimalism.
Do you recommend any of these trends?
I recommend just keeping, I think there's a lot of complications there. And I think just go through decluttering and just keep what you love.
Okay. And so like COVID has changed a lot of things recently. And, you know, has that sort of changed how people view the KonMari method or people react to it?
Well, I haven't heard anything negative. I don't know why they would be. I mean, this method, actually for me, going into COVID, I didn't have to do any stockpiling. Mm-hmm. I wasn't affected really at all with buying items, except for when it came to making hot cross buns. I couldn't find any yeast in the supermarkets. Mm-hmm. But I had everything I needed. And, okay. And like even with toilet paper, for some reason I had ordered from Who Gives a Crap. I subscribed to them a few months before the pandemic, so that was delivered. So mm-hmm.
Okay,
and I don't really use paper towels; I use cloths. So that were you affected at all in your home with COVID? Anything?
My partner, I think, had a bit of a worry that things were going to sell out. So he went and did a bit of a shop, not a huge shop, right before everyone started panic buying. So we weren't too affected. I was just wondering that, you know, people, you know, living from home, working from home a lot more during that COVID period, I think people embraced a lot more maximalism and having more things, you know, hobbies, but also decorating their space more. And I was wondering, you know, maybe this is a misconception I have of the KonMari method, but it seems very sparse and organized, but maybe behind closet doors, you know, and maybe people want to have their clothes out and about and to see everything that they love.
If that makes you happy, do it. KonMari method is absolutely not minimalism.
Okay.
And if you're seeing rooms be sparse, maybe that's what the person likes. A lot of people say to me they love going to stay in a hotel because it isn't full of all their stuff. And they feel great when they're on vacation, on holidays, and they're clearer because they don't have all the stuff around. So definitely isn't minimal. I mean, I've got a home and everything's organized and tidied, but I'm not a minimalist.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, during COVID, people were at home working. And I think people were at home. And so they were thinking about their homes more. And actually, that was my busiest year.
Ah, interesting.
People were decluttering that year.
Okay.
And also people were building on as well, doing a lot of remodeling.
Okay. So maybe, so you actually saw an increase in people using the KonMari method during COVID. Interesting.
Yes, because they just needed some peace and people were home.
So a section that I sort of have a love-hate relationship with in my closet is my sock collection, because I love socks. I love different colored socks and different sizes or different shapes and different colors. But it can get, you know, a bit messy sometimes and also quite full, you know, too many socks that I'm a bit hesitant to get rid of. Do you have any like recommendations on how to like organize my socks so I can find the ones that I want, or, you know, how to contain my socks so they fit in the drawer?
Oh, yeah. So you've probably seen those organizers where they have all the little individual little spaces, you know, for your socks, et cetera. Well, you don't need that. So what I recommend, and it's a KonMari style of looking after your socks, is that, you know how you put the plastic, you fold over the tops and you kind of damage the elastic? Mm. Well, you get your socks and you just place them on top of each other and then just fold them. Fold them, okay, in half or thirds. And depending on the height of the drawer, so imagine you've got your drawer, you've got your shoe boxes in there, and you put all the colours or all the same type socks together and you just fold them. You don't need to stretch the elastic, and people just love it. You know, they'll open up their drawer and they see all these socks.
Okay, great. Yeah, because I definitely have like different socks for different outfits or different occasions, and sometimes I'm digging through all my socks trying to find the right ones, and being able to, if grouping them is really great, because then I can say I want the white tennis socks today or I want the long stripy socks today.
Yes, and I would group them by tennis socks. Mm-hmm. And the type of sock. If you've got a drawer full of different socks, yeah, for sure.
Great. I'm going to try that. So we're going to move on to the practices and habits section next. So this is where, you know, we learn about something that you do in your own home that you learned from, you know, your research and from your work. And so what do you do? You know, what is something that you've learned that you do to manage organization in your own home?
You know, it's so interesting. I could have so many answers, but it really starts with making my bed in the morning.
Uh-huh.
When I make my bed, there's other little steps that start happening. It builds momentum. And it's even like the first exercise for the day, you know, when you're shaking the sheets and, you know, patting the pillows or shaking the pillows out. And if you're making the bed by yourself and you're walking around like the big bed and bending down and da-da-da, it's like a little workout and it's ridiculous. But for some people, that may be their only workout,
mm-hmm.
You know. So
I do love throwing myself on the bed and doing like a roll like I'm a super spy.
Oh, my God. It's
to
funny.
To get to the other side.
Yeah, it is. It's a workout making your bed, isn't it?
Yeah. So do you recommend doing the whole nine yards and or just straightening the sheets is enough?
What's the whole nine yards?
Fluffing up the pillows, you know, making sure the duvet is, mine always moves in the duvet cover, shaking that out. I do that maybe once a week because it just gets too much.
That is so annoying when that happens. Mm. And you can find duvet covers that have little ties inside them.
I actually sewed buttons onto the inside of some of mine because my duvet, the actual duvet, comes with strings. It helps, but not 100%.
Okay. So if it's annoying for you, maybe, you know, you research what is the comfort that you could find that wouldn't irritate you like that.
Yeah, true. I haven't thought about that. I've just sort of lived with it.
Yeah. So when I'm making my bed, I do shake the pillows. Most of the time I'm pretty great about it. There might be one morning where I'm just like, and I might even just literally throw pillows. But, you know, it isn't about being perfect and driving myself crazy, you know, that everything has to be perfect. It isn't about that at all. It's it does something to my brain seeing one task completed. And I found, especially during COVID, my two dogs would be waiting for me. And when that bed was made, they were like little coaches waiting there for me to make the bed. So then the next step, take them for a walk.
Mm-hmm. So they knew your routine.
Yes. And actually, they kind of created it too, because they were really hounding me. And it was really lovely, and I loved it that they did it because it made me make my bed and get out of the house and go do the important thing, just walk them, which made me feel happy too. So,
that's great.
Yeah, I think they really helped cement that.
Mm, good.
So the bed is made, and then I'm dressed, coffee, breakfast, walk the dog.
Ah, so you do it first. I should try that. I think usually when I think about making my bed, I've already had my shower, I've had my breakfast, I've done everything, and then the last thing I'm doing is making my bed. And so often I just forget about doing it. So you do it first.
Yeah. It's like, you know, the room is done and the throw pillows are off the floor. So then, you know, that creates space for vacuuming. And then I'll have showered, so then laundry can be put on if I'm going to do the towels and clothes that day. So it starts all, it's the momentum of other tasks getting completed to then when I'm at the point then when I go to work or work from my office at home.
Okay, great. Thank you. So we're going to move on to the audience questions next. And we have one question. From our Instagram audience. And, you know, if you, our listeners are interested in, you know, submitting any audience questions, make sure you check out our Instagram page. You'll find the link in our show notes, roughly every Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday, and see if I'm interviewing anyone and if you want to submit your questions. And so today's question is, I'm moving house and would love to know the best tips on wardrobe organization. Is this from me? No, it's from an audience member. So please take it away.
Okay, so you're moving and you want to create a wardrobe. You want to get your wardrobe organized.
Mm.
Definitely. Okay, so you've got to examine the reasons that you're moving. So maybe you're downsizing, maybe you're retiring. What activities are you going to be taking into the new home? If you've retired and you worked in an office, maybe you don't need all those suits. Maybe if you're older, you're not doing some other activities. Some other clothing doesn't need to follow you into your new home. And decluttering there and knowing who your current self will be in your new home, I think that will really position you for success in getting your closet organized.
That's a great tip because, I've always found we've moved a lot as kids, and every time I moved to a new place, whether it was a different country or just a different house, I got to, you know, maybe be a different person or be a little bit different and get rid of some old stuff, get some new stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, feel confident about letting go of the things that you won't be using anymore. I mean, there's so many, you know, ways to get clothing into your home, you know, go to thrift store or op shops or order on Amazon or, for goodness sakes, and go to a department store. So, you know, if you need something, you probably can find it.
Great. Thank you for your tips. And now we'll move on to the open mic section. So this is a chance for you to talk about something that you're passionate about. It doesn't have to be related to our topic, but it can be. Did you have something in mind?
Yeah, this is the holidays, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of gift giving at this time. And, oh, gosh, you know, when I'm decluttering with a client and she'll pick up a piece of clothing or a purse or a handbag, and she doesn't like it. And I'll ask her how it came to be in her home, and it's generally a gift.
Okay, so a lot of the things we don't like, we are gifts, but maybe we have guilt associated with maybe throwing it out.
Yeah, it's so much guilt. Oh, I don't want to make them mad or sad. And if you think about yourself giving someone a gift, do you expect that person, the recipient, to hold on to that gift that you gave them? Do you think they're going to look after it for the rest of their lives? Is that the job that you're giving them?
I've never really thought about that, to be honest.
No, and so if you don't want the recipient to have to hold on to that item feeling stressed, they don't want you to hold on to that item feeling stressed either. Mm-hmm. And so letting items carry a lot of guilt go, it's very empowering.
And do you have any recommendations for people who are looking to give gifts? Maybe stick to maybe a list that they've given you or give experiences rather than items.
Definitely, I love the idea of giving experiences. And I personally think the gift of your own time is worth more than anything. A gift that I love from my sons is that at Christmas, on Christmas Day, we go for a hike, go for a walk together. And just their company is a gift for me, more so than anything they could buy me. Mm-hmm. And I think other people would enjoy that same feeling. Take a friend out for coffee.
Yeah.
Go for a walk. For my birthday last year, my girlfriend and I went for a hike, and it was so great, and we had the best conversation.
And it's also a gift for you as well, not just for the person.
Mm. So maybe think about, doesn't always have to cost anything, but just giving, little plastic trinkets and just for the sake of it, I don't know.
Yeah, thank you for that tip. And if our listeners want to find out more about you and about your work, where can they find you?
Yes, my website is tidyuplosangeles.com, and you can find me on Instagram, Facebook. If you go to my website, you can get your own decluttering checklist. So go there and you put your email address, and then you can get a decluttering checklist.
Great, thank you. And we'll put those in the show notes so everyone can find them.
Thank you
so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Gabriela. Been very joyful.
Yes, great to talk to you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Room by Room, produced by the Home Organization Science Labs, a division of LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. More episodes like this from across 10 life management perspectives can be found by searching LMSL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and other podcasting apps available on your smart devices. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating our show, sharing it, and subscribing to our channel, as it helps other people find it so we can grow and bring you more quality resources. More of our work can be found on our website at ho.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Gabriela Yastra. Thanks for tuning in.